Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. I want to thank you for listening to this podcast from Connecting Faith. There are many more podcasts available at our website, myfaithradio.com. And your support makes this possible.
Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting Faith with Life.
Hey, welcome to the Monday Connecting Faith. Good to have you along. I'm Neil Stavem. Appreciate the opportunity to get together with you. You've got a great hour today and some good conversation, so I want to stick around for that, Ted.
Yes.
We're going to spend some time talking about estate planning, charitable giving, all those things. So we do want to say thanks, first of all, though, for all the generous friends last week during our Winter Share event that gave so generously. It was really an amazing outpouring.
I think we have had the most successful winter campaign this past week. Right?
They're very wonderful. And so we're just honored. We're thankful for your generosity. We're going to talk not just specifically about, in fact, we're not going to really talk about Faith Radio at all in terms of charitable giving, but we do want to focus on year-end charitable giving as well as estate planning and, leaving a legacy and some of those things. How do we actually put together a estate plan, and what are the financial aspects as well as other aspects that need to be involved in that? We've had these guests with us in the past, and are glad to have them back today. Kirby Stahl and Paul Stein are going to join us, and it'll be an opportunity for you. Maybe there's a specific question that relates to estate planning or charitable giving that you've been wondering about. This would be a great time for you to call. So if you want to queue up now, you're welcome to do that at 877-933-2484. 877-93-FAITH. But before we get into today's program, we just want to pause once again. Thank you for your willingness to partner with us during our Angel Tree campaign. We are working with Prison Fellowship to see over the course of these weeks here in December a number of children reached. Angel Tree is a ministry to those children of families with a parent in prison. And so far, thanks to your commitments, over 500 children have been committed. It's a gift of $73, for example, will help reach five children with a Christmas gift, the gospel, and a message of love from their incarcerated parent. And so we're just honored to see that total continued climb. We'd love to see over the course of this month when our campaign is done, actually, I guess, about Christmas Day or so, we'd love to see 1,200 children being taken care of. So we're going to ask you to be generous with your gift, whether it's $73 to take care of five children, or maybe you can do 146 to 10 children, or, whatever that gift amount is. You just do your best gift. And you can make that gift online at myfaithradio.com, or you can call this number, 855-59-ANGEL. And as you listen to this story, think about the kind of life change that you can be a part of when you call 855-59-ANGEL.
A father does the unthinkable. In a single moment of rage, Scott shakes his six-week-old son, sending him to the hospital, and is convicted of aggravated battery and sentenced to 7 years in prison. His wife, Dusty, tries to sort out the source of that violent outburst.
We both came from abusive pasts. Scott, he did not come from a faith-based home at all.
Left alone to raise their three sons, Dusty went through 2 years of anguish.
I was just so full of anger. I hated him. We lost our home. I lost my job. I just blamed everything on him.
As time passed, the baby, Malik, healed from his injuries. But their middle son, Eli, matched his mother's anger toward his father in prison.
Eli felt the same hate that I was feeling because he sided with me.
Just as this family was hitting bottom, three events happened to unfold. Dusty was invited to church. Scott began talking to the prison chaplain. And that Christmas, the three boys, Dominic, Eli, and Malik, were invited to an Angel Tree party where they discovered gifts chosen just for them.
They were wrapped beautifully, and on the tag it said, "Love, Daddy." They were kind of like, "This is from Dad? What's going on here?" And Malik got some Scooby-Doo pajamas, and he was He was totally obsessed with Scooby-Doo, so that was really great. And Eli, he just loves putting stuff together, so he got a big box of Legos. But they were amazed that Scott knew what they wanted. It was like the Lord was working through those gifts.
Dusty felt hope for the first time in a long while, but she still needed something from Scott. She went to visit him in prison.
As we sat down at the table, he instantly just broke into tears, told me how sorry he was. He had never confessed to me about what he had done.
Scott was not only broken, he was reborn.
God has really worked in his life, and he has connected with fellow believers in the prison, the chaplain.
The final angel tree blessing came when Dusty took the three boys to see their dad, especially for Eli, who had expressed so much anger.
When he saw my husband come through the doors, he ran and gave his dad the biggest hug. He said, "Thank you, Dad. Thank you for not forgetting about me." And he also thanked him for the gifts that he received on Christmas.
The Bible speaks of how anger is passed on through the generations. Will you join in prayer that this family and many others just like it continue to be healed?
God used Angel Tree in our lives to begin removing the anger and the enemy out of my children's hearts. Looking forward, I see our family just becoming one again, but this time with Christ in the middle.
Powerful story of life change. You can be a part of it when you join with us in our Angel Tree opportunity. $73 will help reach five children with a Christmas gift, the gospel, and a message of love from their parent in prison. And we thank you for partnering with us. Here's the number to call if you'd like to make your gift today. It's 855-592-6435. That's 855-59-ANGEL. Or you can give online at myfaithradio.com. We'd love to know that you are partnering with us in this strategic outreach to these children that are can make such a difference and transform families and lives and communities. Well, thank you for joining with us today on Connecting Faith. We're going to shift gears and talk a bit about, I guess it's not really shifting gears, because we want to talk a little bit about charitable giving and charitable gift planning and estate planning, leaving a legacy. Those things are important topics. And it may be that here we are just a couple weeks till the end of the year. There are some things that you had intended to do that you haven't gotten around to doing yet. And so maybe this program can be a little stimulus, a little encouragement to say, here's a step I can take to get started to maybe move it forward. So we want to welcome back to our microphones today Kirby Stahl, Senior Director for Advancement Services at the University of Northwestern, and he's Vice President of the Northwestern Foundation. The foundation was established back in 1996 as a community foundation, works to facilitate the transfer of planned gifts that benefit Northwestern programs as well as other charities. And Paul Stein is with us as well, certified financial planner with 25 years or so experience, founder and president of Advanced Retirement Resources. Advanced Retirement Resources exists to help individuals identify and work toward their ultimate financial goals through highly personalized financial planning and wealth management. And Paul provides financial expertise, guiding clients as they prepare for and transition into and navigate their retirement years. And both Paul and Kirby have been guests with us on the past, and we're always honored to have them in studio. So, guys, welcome back. Good to see you.
Thank you, Neil. It's always a privilege and pleasure to be on with you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks, Neil. Yeah. I was thinking of, as you were introducing Kirby, he's just a genuinely good guy.
Yeah, well, that's, yeah.
That'd be the short introduction.
That would have been, sure. I probably could have saved myself a little extra reading if I just said that. So, all right. So we got the good guys in the studio today. And I know that you may have some questions today as we talk a little bit about, you know, charitable giving, plans, estate planning, leaving a legacy, all that. So I want to just mention and give the phone number out as well, and you can queue up with your questions at 877-93-FAITH. But let's talk about year-end charitable giving. It's the time of year we maybe want to do that. There are several ways that can be done. Kirby, we'll start with you.
Sure. Yeah. Well, it is December, and it's the month of giving. Yeah. Christmas is just around the corner. I do realize that when I know that my appointment schedule is lined up with people who are looking to discuss how to make a charitable gift at year end. And it's not always for the benefit of the university or radio stations. People come to me all the time and say, what's the right way to do this?
Which, by the way, is part of your service, right?
So
it's not exclusively, it's not just tied into Northwestern. It's just a service.
That's correct. Yeah. And we always love to help people and have conversations with how to plan, whether it's a gift in December or a gift into the future to any ministry like their church or another. Just the testimony of that angel tree. That was amazing.
Yeah.
And I just think there are a lot of worthy causes out there that are worthy of support, financial support, gifts of our time and our efforts as well. So, but there are lots of ways to give. Many people think that writing a check is the way to do it or the only way to do it. And I think that there are a lot of other ways people can make contributions to charities. And the one thing that I think about pretty frequently in December is gifts of appreciated assets. Those stocks or mutual funds that even though the market this year has been up and down and maybe mostly flat, there are people out there who hold stocks and mutual funds that have appreciated greatly over the years. And there could be many benefits to give those instead of cash.
Let's talk more about the benefits. Why appreciate? What's the benefit of giving an appreciated asset?
Well, if you give an asset that's appreciated rather than giving cash, then you can avoid paying the tax on the gain on the asset. So you can just give more. You can have more go to the charity and less go to taxes. That's the simple answer.
Yeah, and I think we should probably pursue that answer as much as we can, right? I mean, because taxes are they're a huge factor really in anything that we're doing in terms of charitable giving or even planned giving. Right?
Yeah, I would say that taxes aren't the only reason why one should make a charitable gift. You know, I always say that's probably not the most important. You're giving because you believe in the organization and what their mission is. However, the United States does offer these things called tax deductions for gifts to charitable organizations.
So appreciated asset like a stock, but there are other things too, right? Maybe real estate? Or
Interestingly, it's been an influx of people calling in to say, how could I leave my home to charity? And maybe that's not going to happen until they pass away. But people are really interested in discovering new ways to benefit the charities that they like. And I always think about this in terms of questions, you know. You know, why would somebody think about that now? You know, what happened in their life that is prompting them, triggering them to think about that? And in many cases, there's a reason why people ask that question.
Well, and giving a real estate or a piece of property, you know, generally like someone's home, of course, that doesn't help them, doesn't provide any income for them while they're living. They need the asset while they're living, but it's an asset that they won't need when they pass away. So that would be a real natural thing to say, okay, if I no longer need this, then where would I want it to go? And if a charity can benefit, and they're charitable anyway, that's a great way to do it.
Yeah, and in many cases, I find that the people who are asking these questions are people who don't necessarily have other family members or children that are in the picture. And so where do they turn? Well, they turn to somebody who might have some answers or some resources. And I think that's where Paul and my areas come in. We just love to help people.
Sure. And during this hour, we'll offer some of that help. Maybe you have a specific question about that. And before we take a break, maybe just say, you know, we talk about stock or real estate, but, you know, people obviously can give cash as well, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And I think it's just important to remember that there are deadlines. December 31 is kind of the magic date where somebody needs to have a gift postmarked or in the hands of their charity to be able to claim that 2015 tax deduction.
Yeah. Another tip, just as people are coming to the end of the year, is for someone to look at their taxable income and to see to ask themselves if it's going to be higher or lower next year, or if they're anticipating it to be higher or lower, because that might make a difference if they want to make the gifts this year or next year. And I work with a lot of people that are retiring, and then a lot of times you're going from your, you know, kind of at your peak earning years. They're charitable, and then probably after they retire, their taxable income is going to be lower. So then do you want to make some charitable gifts when you get the biggest benefit from the deduction? So doing that in advance. So, and there are tools that Kirby is very well versed with, a donor advised fund or a charitable gift fund, where you can You let's say I want to I give a certain amount to charities that I already and say, well, I'm gonna be giving this much over the next 5-10 years anyway, but I could use the I benefit more from the deduction now, so to bring that gift to it's so like a donor advised fund or a charitable gift fund. You can get the charitable deduction now in the current tax year when it benefits you most, and then you can still make the gifts to the charities in the future.
Okay. You know, I did a question I just asked you before the show, too. I'm just curious, is in terms of charitable giving, is it a one-for-one relationship that is a dollar given to charity equals a dollar less in taxes?
Yeah, no, it's a deduction, not a credit. Okay. So a credit would be a one-for-one, but the deduction would be... whatever the percentage of taxes you're paying on those last dollars of income, or the marginal tax rate is the tax lingo for it. But if you're in a 15% federal and 5% state, you know, it costs you about 80 cents to give a dollar. If you're in a higher tax bracket, 25%, and you know, so between 20% and 30-35% for a lot of folks is what you so it might cost you 65 cents to give a dollar.
But significant as it accumulates, obviously. And as you said, if you're at your peak earning time, you know, use that charitable deduction when it really makes more sense.
Yeah, and for many people, you know, they might be in higher tax brackets than that, you know, to, you know, 50% between state and federal. So, taking the deduction just makes it more, you can give more for what the cost is to you. So you can have less go to taxes and more go to your charities.
We're going to talk charitable giving during this hour. We're also going to talk a bit about estate planning, financial and estate planning, some of the must things you have to have or you need to have. Kind of prioritize that a bit as well. It may be that you have a question in this conversation. Been wondering about some things. We'll try and answer your questions. Maybe there's a language you don't fully understand. We would welcome you to join the conversation with you. Phone call at 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH. Or if it's more convenient just to submit a question or a comment online, you can go to myfaithradio.com. Then click on the Connecting Faith show page. There's an email link right there. You can submit your question or comment that way. Paul Stein is founder and president of Advanced Retirement Resources. He's a certified financial planner. Kirby Stahl serves as the senior director of Advancement Services and the vice president of the Northwestern Foundation here at the University of Northwestern. And we'll continue in just a moment. Three past the hour, talking today with Kirby Stahl, Senior Director of Advancement Services for the University of Northwestern and Vice President of the Northwestern Foundation. And Paul Steins, a certified financial planner and President of Advanced Retirement Resources. Their website, by the way, is advancedretirement.com, advancedretirement.com. Kirby, they could just get to the foundation at unwsp.edu.
That's right.
Yeah. All right. Easy enough to do that. We'll give those websites out as we go along as well. We're going to get back, Paul, because I want to follow up on maybe defining what donor-advised funds, what we mean by that. But, Kirby, you had mentioned something about some sort of triggering event. I mean, why do people sort of come and talk to you in December? Why do we maybe even think about planning our estate anyway? Talk about the whys behind that.
Sure. Well, a lot of times I find that there is a triggering event for someone to finally make the decision to call and ask a question or to make a gift. And a lot of times those triggering events might be centered on something that's memorable, positively or negatively, or maybe somebody has experienced some pain along the way. And so a lot of times the people I talk with are coming with a story, and they sit down and they tell me about something that is really important to them, or something that was really memorable that maybe caused some pain that they don't want to see repeated. And so how can planning, whether it's financial planning or estate planning or related to giving to honor somebody's memory, how can they accomplish a goal?
Which is, Paul, what you essentially do every day, right, with your clients, that it's about let's plan this out, not only for retirement, but for the state beyond that.
Yeah. Most things turn out better if there was some forethought put into it. You know, usually the best things don't happen just by happenstance. So, you know, ultimately, as believers, you know, we trust the Lord long term, but yet we, you know, we just the whole concept of stewardship is I'm gonna be smart with the resources I have and try to do the best job that I can with them, knowing that we don't know the future.
You mentioned the word donor-advised fund. Maybe you can just back up and say a bit more about what that is.
Well, I guess the easiest way is to explain it. There are several vehicles where you can do some charitable giving. Let's say someone sells a business, or they have some significant gains from something. Maybe they're a non-resident. We were talking about houses, but let's say someone has a cabin. And they are going to sell the cabin, but maybe there's a lot of appreciation there. But they don't necessarily want to give that whole asset right now, maybe to their church or charities. But if they think about it, you know, over the years, they probably will be giving an amount similar to that in future years. But they would benefit from getting the deduction now because it'll offset the gain, or they can actually gift the cabin, let's say, to a donor advised fund and get the tax deduction in the current year. And then they have control on directing the future gifts from that fund to charities in the future. So they it's as a donor advised, as the name implies, the donor can control while it's invested, and then also control the distribution of that in the future.
And I'd like to say that, you know, Northwestern Foundation offers donor advised funds. So does a lot of community foundations, whether they're in your state or in your community, and they're based on maybe certain principles. But I always boil it down to the fact that this is a way for you to park some money for a while, that you aren't quite sure where or which charitable organizations will benefit. But again, you need that tax deduction this year. I'm actually working with about three to five people right now who have either had significant bonuses where their tax bracket's going to be way up this year, and they just know that they need to park some money for a while, that ultimately they'll probably give it to their church or local charities, but it will happen over a period of years because of the lump sum that they want to put away. So it's a good way to think about another way to benefit charities.
They still own it and control its direction or not?
Actually not. So
okay.
This is a charitable gift outright that would happen right now today. They get that tax deduction, and then we can think about who's going to benefit from it later on.
Okay. So they have a degree of control. They can direct, name the charities in the future. That doesn't have to be decided now, but it is an irrevocable charitable gift at the time made.
Okay. All right. We're talking... estate planning, charitable gift planning, estate planning issues today with Kirby Stahl and Paul Stein. Paul's founder and president of Advanced Retirement Services. Kirby Stahl is the president, vice president of the Northwestern Foundation. And we're taking your calls today as well at 877-933-2484. If you have some estate plan questions, just wondering about kind of, you know, family and all those things, or maybe about some different vehicles that you've considered, you can give us a call. We'll talk about it here in the next half hour. 877-933-2484. That's 877-93-FAITH. And we'll continue in just a moment. Plus 32 past the hour, and talking today about charitable gift planning, leaving a legacy, financial and estate planning with Kirby Stahl, who's Senior Director of Advancement Services at the University of Northwestern, Vice President of the Northwestern Foundation, and Paul Stein, Certified Financial Planner and Founder and President of Advanced Retirement Resources. You can find out more about the good work that both these gentlemen do. AdvancedRetirement.com is Paul's website, AdvancedRetirement.com. Or you can also connect with the foundation at our website, unwsp.edu. So, Kirby and Paul, let's talk a little bit about maybe, who needs to do estate planning? Is this something that only affects those that are, you know, business people that are ready to retire, or is this something where everybody ought to be thinking about?
Well, I think one reason why people don't do estate planning is because sometimes they do think that, well, that's just for people that are that have more than I do, or that are older than I am. And so I think that's probably one of the reasons why people don't get around to it. But really, everyone that you know that's 18 or older should have an estate plan, because there are some parts of the estate plan that people don't think about. Everybody thinks about the will, and that is an important document to understand. But there are a couple documents that really anybody 18 or over should have that would be a part of your estate plan. And one is called a power of attorney, and that basically is just a document that if I'm incapacitated, it empowers someone else to take care of financial matters for me, whether it's paying my rent, you know, whether it's paying my taxes. It's just a real simple document that that really every adult should have. So if I have a spouse, you know, because even if I'm married, my spouse can take care of things that are jointly held, like she can write checks out of my joint checking account. But she wouldn't be able to get money out of my 401k to pay a bill or make an adjustment in my IRA, for example. So power of attorney is really something that everyone should have. We've had situations over the years, clients with children, adult children that were in a car accident or even in their 20s and had a stroke, and it's very inconvenient. You have to go through a court procedure to get power to take care of just basic things. And if somebody would have just had a power of attorney, it would have been taken care of.
I mentioned a will, power of attorney, other things that should be in that plan. So
yeah, the other document that every person should have if they're 18 or older would be a healthcare directive. And that, like the power of attorney, takes care of financial matters. You name somebody else to take care of those things for you. A healthcare directive is where you name someone else to make healthcare decisions for you. And it does two things. People, there used to be a living will and then a power of attorney for healthcare. And they combine those two documents into a healthcare directive. So you name the person to be your healthcare agent. And then the second thing is that it gives you the opportunity to give them some instructions on what you would want or not want in different situations.
Well, I was just going to say that don't wait. You know, that it's always the question of why do people wait? Well, don't wait to implement these things, because you just don't know. I mean, the statistics on somebody becoming disabled and somebody dying and something happening so drastically to change your life today, whether you turn out on a busy street and something happens, you just don't know when things are going to happen. And I do know firsthand the time and energy it takes when you don't have those plans in place. And just thinking back to over a decade ago when something very seriously happened to my own father, and my mom had plans in place. And it took all the worry and the anxiety and the process of going through all those court procedures because she had a simple document put in place that probably took very little expense and little time. So I just say don't wait to put these things in place.
Yes, I know that there are many people listening probably today that, you know, that was one of their New Year's resolutions back in January 2015. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going to get this done, and here we are, you know, a couple weeks left to go, and still haven't got it done. So, in terms of priority order, you mentioned is the will the first thing? I mean, and does it have to be complicated, or can it be simple just to be effective?
Yeah, I would say that, you know, some of these things can happen very independently from each other. So the power of attorney, the healthcare directive, those things can happen even without a will being in place. Your will is something then that directs really what would happen after you pass away. And there are important things to recognize about the will as well. I always say that the will ensure that a court is going to get involved in your matters. And if you don't like that thought, well, then we better talk about some other ways to keep the process more streamlined or simple, and there are always, it seems, alternatives to these tools like the will. Of course, you could have a trust that would replace the will. You know, so all these things have their own degrees of complexity, but can happen pretty much independently of themselves.
Yeah. Basically, everything that a person owns is going to, when you pass away, it's going to go into one of four buckets. So the first bucket, and then that bucket is going to determine how it's distributed. So the first bucket would be jointly held property. You know, if you own a piece of property, a checking account or real estate or anything, if you own it jointly with somebody else, one party dies, it's like a mini estate plan. So anything jointly held goes through that bucket. The second bucket would be anything where you've named a beneficiary. So if you put someone's name on a beneficiary line by contract of law, then that determines who gets that whatever that asset is. So anything you've named a beneficiary on goes through that beneficiary bucket. The third bucket would be, as Kirby mentioned, if you maybe created a trust and you've put things into a trust, and trust is just a legal entity that can own some things and take care of some things and distribute it. But it's a legal entity, but that would be the trust bucket. But then if you have some assets that don't fall into one of those three buckets, then who's supposed to get it? And that's what the probate process is for, and that involves the court getting involved to make sure that the right people get the assets. And your will is just your instructions to the probate court. So wills don't avoid probate; they just tell the probate court what you wanted. And if you die without a will, then that's called being an intestate, and that's where then the laws of the state that you lived in dictate who's supposed to get what because you didn't leave any instructions.
And I do think that there is this sentiment out there that says that, well, if I pass away, it'll all be okay. You know, my family will be able to determine those things. But just like Paul said, there are rules. There are rules in which bucket these assets fall into, and it might not go exactly how you thought it would.
So how do we, make sure that we... our intentions are carried on after we're gone? I mean, even just maybe passing on values, circling back to charitable giving. I mean, how do we pass on what we really value in this life into the life of those that come after?
Yeah, I was thinking even earlier today, the fact that what are the things you're not supposed to talk about when you get together at Christmas time? You know, your political views and your money. But that might just be the perfect time to sit down is during these Christmas gatherings that you have with family members. If you are a parent with children and if you're aging, you might want to have some conversations about what happens when mom and dad pass away. And I do think that the passing along of values is so important. And I just reflect on a couple quick reads that I pull out every other day. One is the book by the name The Treasure Principle by Randy Alcorn. And it gives some good principles on generosity and biblical principles. And then the other one I think about is a compilation of some writings by Henry Nouwen, and it's called The Spirituality of Fundraising. And again, another book that really says that these resources are given to us by God, entrusted to us. And he gives us the right to steward those gifts for further purposes, for kingdom purposes.
Is it ideal to get sort of every asset that we have tied into some, either through a beneficiary or a trust, so that the will or the probate doesn't take care of any of that? I mean, we want as much not covered in the will or covered in some other way in the will?
Well, generally speaking, probate would be the least efficient way, the least efficient bucket to have assets go through. So, and it does vary, for the details might vary in individual situations. There's other things to consider, of course. But, you know, like on a beneficiary line, instead of saying my estate, if there are, if you have children that you know you want it to go to, or your spouse you know you want it to go to, then that might be more efficient. However, mentioning that there are other things to consider, let's say the children are minors, if you have small children, minors can't legally own assets, so then that would require a conservatorship, and that is more cumbersome. And provides fewer opportunities than if you had done it differently. So So that would be an example where you might want to name your estate. And then if you've done a will and you have some minor trust provisions in that will, then that would be a better way to do it. So not to sound like a politician.
No, but no, it's
but,
good.
But sometimes, you know, a simple question doesn't have a simple answer. But generally speaking, you know, yeah, probate would be the least efficient way to the least efficient bucket.
I was curious, too. You mentioned, Kirby, maybe, you know, Christmas time about, you know, talking with the families. You have adult children. I'm just curious to know, I mean, how much do we bring our adult children into these discussions and plans? If we go back to, you know, making a charitable contribution, I mean, it's possible that they don't necessarily agree with our preferences or what we'd like to do, or say, you know, if somebody says, well, I have some real estate, I want to give it charitably, and they go, Mom, no, don't do that, you know, I mean... How do we work through some of those issues?
Well, the situation is going to be unique for every single person. It very well might be that you have very different faith and values than your children do. And so how does that conversation look like? I do ultimately think that a parent, especially a parent who's aging, who may have some diagnosed conditions, should find someone, whether it's a child or a loved one or a good friend, someone to trust their ideals and their wishes too, and to let them know where things are when something happens. And I think, again, it provides an opportunity for parents with adult children who there is a good relationship to sit down and say, look, here's where things are. And we want you to know so that you know what's going to happen afterwards so that there aren't any surprises. Because a lot of times when mom and dad pass away, and the kids find out that their money is all going to charity or it's being split differently, it's ripe for conflict.
I think there's two really important questions for people to ask. One is my estate prepared? You know, have I prepared the appropriate documents? And then the second thing is, are my heirs prepared to carry out the estate? And if they, if maybe someone doesn't have the confidence that they're going to carry out things that I value, then there are ways to do it where it's irrevocable, where it's set in stone and it's already taken care of, and you're not, you can make sure that what you wanted to happen happens. Because we've seen that over the years where we've had many clients pass away. We've helped them throughout their retirement, and as they're getting older, a child that has different values is supporting, and many times it's mom is the surviving spouse and her capacity is diminishing, and I can see that the kids are kind of influencing her to change her plans that she had done years ago that reflected her values, but now maybe too much is going to charity and the kids don't want that, and so they're kind of influencing mom when she's more vulnerable, but she's still competent, but they're influencing her. Their values are influencing her values.
So using the irrevocable trust, a way that we could do that, let's come back and talk more about what that means and continue our conversations. We're talking estate planning, leaving a legacy, charitable giving, all those things today with Kirby Stahl and Paul Stein. You're welcome to join the conversation. If you've heard something that's maybe sparked a question about a particular area, we'd be happy to offer some advice. You can always find out more on the Northwestern Foundation site. You can get to that at unwsp.edu. You can just search for the foundation there. Or you can connect with Paul Stein at advancedretirement.com, advancedretirement.com. Paul is the founder and president of Advanced Retirement Resources. Kirby Stahl is the vice president of the Northwestern Foundation. They're with us today on Connecting Faith, talking charitable giving and legacy. Stay tuned. Talking about leaving a legacy today, financial and estate planning, as well as charitable gift planning with Kirby Stahl and Paul Stein. Kirby and Paul have been with us in the past on a number of occasions. I always enjoy having them back in studios. We talk through issues about, you know, how we can be wise, be good stewards of the resources God's entrusted to us, and how we can pass on our values after we're gone. And thinking, guys, I'd like to talk a little bit about, you know, ways that maybe we can do some of those charitable giving things, save some taxes, have some income while we're still living. I mean, there are a variety of ways to do that as well, right?
Yeah, well, and again, this is the season of giving, and the term leave a legacy, I think, has really caught on and is a good way for somebody to build into their story their values. And so we see a lot of people these days saying, boy, I have enough stuff. You know, I don't need anything else. What I'd really like is for you to make a gift in my honor to one of my favorite charities. And so we like to think about that even in terms of our own family. I have one daughter who's extremely gifted in giving, and she's already made gifts to charities. And she's 14. She's doing that giving now. So it doesn't discriminate on age. You can always give, and whether you're making a gift the first time or whether you've been supporting an organization for a very long time, those organizations will be so grateful for those gifts that you make before the year end here.
I want to talk about just, I guess, maybe the most efficient ways to give and maybe some instruments of, that are effective for doing that.
Well, I don't think the conversation has come up yet, but there are vehicles that Kirby's very well versed with that where you can give an appreciated asset, or if you have an appreciated asset that that either you're ready to sell or want to sell, life is changing. We have a lot of clients that are aging, and very commonly Minnesotans have cabins, so the cabin's appreciated. And if they sell it, there's a fair amount of capital gains. And now they have less use for the cabin. Now, sometimes people want to keep the cabin in the family, so that's a different situation, but they really have more need for income and less use for the cabin. So you can gift the appreciated asset that hasn't been generating income, turn it into an income stream and then have what probably would have gone to taxes go to your favorite charity.
I was just going to say that I think sometimes people think it's an all or none. I need to give my cabin in its entirety to a charity to benefit from some of the tax benefits. And we've got a wonderful gentleman on staff who's well-versed in some legal terms. And you can do partial gifts, partial interest gifts of your appreciated property, too, where some of it goes to charity to the extent that you can take advantage of the tax benefits, where the rest of it will go to you or to other individuals. You want a name. So it's not an all or none. And I think sometimes people wrestle with, am I giving too much away when I do want to benefit my children or other loved ones too?
So that you could set it up so there's some ongoing income coming from, like setting up a charitable trust, something like that?
That's correct. Well, the simplest would be a gift annuity where you make a gift and then you get a return, an income stream from it.
Yep. The gift annuity is a simple agreement between you and a charity that says that the charity promises to pay you income for the rest of your life. And then whenever you pass away, then the charity benefits from whatever's left of that gift. So that's probably the simplest. There's also a charitable remainder trust. There are all kinds of other legal documents that can oversee these things.
That can get complicated, but the main thing for listeners is to understand that there that things can be done, so the vehicles are there to have more go to charity, less go to taxes, and then depending on how you want to balance that, and then also potentially generate some income. That a lot of times as people are getting older, that's what they need is more income.
And I also recognize that there are people out there who have real needs right now. Maybe they're heading into a nursing home situation, or they're taking care of a parent who's in a nursing home situation right now, and they're watching their parent's estate be depleted by those expenses. And they're wondering, well, can I do anything? Can I shelter my parent's estate for those things? And so I think that's where you need to take some time and find somebody you can trust who knows the ins and outs of nursing home care and how to take care of those items too.
Are there some general guidelines in that scenario? Say, we just have we don't have liquid assets anymore or something, but there's a cabin or something, or there's, you know, whatever property. I don't know if there's, you know, how we could, again, you want to shelter, you want to protect, you'd like to pass on some things, but you know, the state will need their part for for care, probably.
Yeah, and a lot of things, you know, with advancements in healthcare, and, you know, a lot of things that used to kill us, now they can keep us alive. And so people are living longer, and if we live long enough, eventually we need some assistance, some care, which can be very expensive. And so there that type of planning is not as easy as it used to be. You know, there are more rules, there are more limitations. Some of the tools that used to be used, you know, now no longer can be used. So that type of planning needs to be the best time to do it is more in advance, you know, and kind of 5 years is the easy number to remember. Their time frame is you kind of that you should be trying to look down the road. And, if you have a cabin, say in the family that you want to protect for your kids, you know, you need to be doing some planning. It's hard. It's much more limited the planning that you can do if dad went into the nursing home and my dad was in the nursing home and it was $9,000 a month at the end. And that can deplete an estate fairly quickly, as Kirby mentioned. So you need to do that kind of planning as early as possible.
Just if you can say a little bit more about your situation, but were there things that you would have done differently, Paul, probably knowing then the kind of price tag that came as your father took that needed that much more care?
Well, we'd done planning. It turned out pretty well, and that's what we try to do for our clients. Yeah. You know, is be planning ahead, knowing that is that is. You look at the statistics. I don't know them right off my head, but the number of people that will require some assistance, you know, as they get older, is quite high, and there is long term care insurance, and some people kind of steer away from that because they, you know, don't really understand insurance, and the premiums can be high. And but there are, just like buying cars, there are Cadillacs, and then there's a little economy cars. Sure. So there are a lot of different ways to plan for that, but it does require some forethought and looking ahead. When it's already happened, then it's harder.
I always think, you know, your situation is what it is, and maybe you had the time to do all the planning, or maybe something just happened right now that is now impacting you. So wherever you are, know that you can reach out to people, whether it's people like Paul or like me or a family member or a trusted friend, and just know that you don't have to go it alone. You can reach out, and there, I'll guarantee you that there are people who would love to take the time to help you, and that's why we're here as well.
Yeah. Go ahead, Paul.
Well, there, a lot of times, just like in finance and health, you know, a lot of times getting some good advice is helpful, and then you can choose what to do with it. But, you know, it increases your understanding and, you know, understand your options. I like the advice that my wife's physical therapist gave to her when she had her knee, after she had her knee replaced. It was start where you are, use what you have, do what you can. And that's a good, that applies to estate planning.
Okay, very good. Now, you know, if you want to find out more, Kirby would be happy to talk to you again, sort of no obligation of any kind, and would just be able to bounce off some ideas for you. And they've got a great team of wise men and women that could assist you in a variety of areas. Kirby Stahl is the Senior Director of Advancement Services and the Vice President of the Northwestern Foundation here at the University of Northwestern. You can connect with him through the website, the unwsp.edu, and look for the foundation. Paul Stein is the Founder and President of Advanced Retirement Resources, and you can reach them on their website as well at advancedretirement.com. That's advancedretirement.com, and we'll do links on our show page here after the show as well. Or if you want to call, they have a toll-free number. If you'd like to just connect with Paul or have him get back to you eventually here anyway, 800-347-8630. That's 800-347-8630. Guys, we do appreciate your wise counsel and advice. We just need to be reminded of it, and hopefully some friends will take care of some things here before the end of the year.
Mm-hmm. Thank you,
Hope
Neil.
So. Thanks,
right.
Neil.
You've been listening to Connecting Faith. You can hear today's program on our website. We post it on the show page at myfaithradio.com.